Hi, and welcome to the View Church Tableview Podcast. We trust that the message today will inspire you to be a changed life, changing lives.
We are carrying on with our series, I Will. And what we're saying is we want you, and there's cards in front of your chair, and you can fill out this card, even at the fast week, you know, have I Will walls, and we want you to fill out that, finish that sentence based on what you want God to say to you at the end of 2018. Well done, good and faithful servant for this. And based on that, it could be any area. I want to take my marriage to a new level. I want my relationship with my kids to be a new level. I want to serve. This is what I want to do. Based on that well done you want, you need to say I will. Okay, and you need to say for the next 6 months of 2018, for some of you, you've already got an I will. And what you'll do is it will reawaken that vision for the next 6 months. And we know without vision, people perish. And so winter can almost steal your vision. It could put you in a bit of a lull. So all we want to do is lift you up, lift your eyes where your help comes from, lift up your eyes to the vision. And I'm in the second part of the series. Last week, I did four reasons people don't have an I will. And now I want to inspire you about why you should have an I will, how God set it up. So I encourage you to open up your hearts. But we're going to start at Genesis 1. And I'm going to use a few different verses. But the first one will be 11. And we're just going to look at how God created the earth. And it goes like this. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees in the land that bear fruit with seed in it. So what you need to understand is God created vegetation with seed in it according to its various kinds. And it was so. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures and let the birds fly above and earth, the earth and across the vault of the sky. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. So God creates plants and he creates animals and he gives them the ability to reproduce. We all see that? Then it goes on in verse 27 to 28. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish of the sea. So we see God speaks to man. God doesn't have to recreate man. Once he created man, he put a seed inside of man to reproduce. God didn't have to recreate plants. Once he made plants, he put a seed inside of them to produce after the own kind. God didn't have to recreate animals. He put an ability in animals to recreate after its own kind. So once the seed's there, the seed can be reproduced. You get it? Okay, so God puts seed inside of us. He says, be fruitful, multiply, bring increase. God actually encourages increase. God rewards increase. In Matthew 25, 23, it's a famous parable. It's called the parable of the talents. And these guys get talents. Two of them increase their talents. One puts the talent under the rock. And this is what God says to the one person who brings increase, who multiplies, who grows what God's given them. He says, the master replied in verse 23, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. Faithfulness is bringing increase. It's not taking care of what you got. It's not putting it under a rock. It's actually increasing it. And I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in my your master's happiness. So God rewards and is very happy about the person who brings increase. We see that? Of course, the back end of that scripture, I thought I wouldn't put it up. He actually says to the person who hides these under a rock has the same amount and brings it back, not increases. He actually says, you're a wicked servant. We're not going to focus on that this morning because we are a joyful, encouraging church. But go and read that. Matthew 6, 37 to 38, of course, shows us that your increase and multiplication can be positive and negative. And that's what you have to be aware of. Your seed you sow can be positive and negative, but a lot of people can forget it. So it says there, do not judge, do not judge, and you will not be judged. So we see judgment can lead to more judgment, but if you do not judge, you may not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Then here's positive. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Give and will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So we see there's positive and negative. You see that? If you give your wife a hard time, this is how it would read in the Bible. She will give you hell. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. And all the women said amen, and all the men just cried a tear. Hey, come on. It's the truth. I'm not like joking here. And you can be like, it's a joke about, no, that's what you, it's pressed out. So here's the thing, that's an agricultural picture. So what happened was people would work a field and they would bring a basket of seed. Normally they'd fill the basket three quarters full because they wouldn't want to lose seed for the owner, and they'd bring it into the barn. They'd work a whole week, and the last basket of the worker would be his pay. So how do you think he filled that last basket? Pressed down, shake it together, running over. I would rather lose a bit and be in the overflow than just take it. So God says, the way you sow, but here's the thing, the way you sow, positive or negatively, that's what you'll reap. So you sow judgment, you'll reap it pressed down, running over. You sow condemnation, but if you sow forgiveness and you sow love and you're generous, you can actually get another level. So we see mercy, judgment, condemnation, but if you give pardon, you reap pardon. If you give, it will lead to giving. So what you give comes back at another level. You give, you get more back than you give. So sometimes you just have to be patient before you rent and give bad stuff. And what you give can give back to you. Of course, just an example, I always joke with my mother-in-law, because Jenny has two children who are doctors. So Jenny, of course, knows medicine, but she's a Google doctor. Get what I mean? She's probably one of the better Google doctors out there. But nobody's going to pay her for her medical advice. Some people take it. But people pay Leanne for her medical advice because she gave 9 years to medicine. See, because she gave herself to medicine, medicine has given back to her. And it's given back more than she gave. But that's just a spiritual principle. That's why people don't get it. What you give to, you get back. Some people can be upset. Oh, but I'm a great Google doctor. Yeah, but nobody's going to pay for that. You've given your part to it. You've given part-time to it. So you receive part-time. You're not really going to receive a full-time reward and a part-time input. So people don't get it. Whatever you give to, you get back. So I can't reap a harvest with a part-time investment. You can't give part and expect full. You can't harvest of the committed. You can't have the harvest of the committed when you're partially committed. You can't expect that. You can't expect a full harvest. I want to have the best marriage in the world. Well, how committed are you to your marriage? How are you sowing into it? How are you giving towards your marriage? You can't come home and say, why is my marriage in shambles? Well, you'll get from your marriage what you put into your marriage. It's not what your spouse gives to you that makes your marriage successful. It's what you put into it. And that's what people need to understand. You've got seed-bearing potential. You've got an ability to drive into your destiny in what you sow, not what you get. And so some people actually treat their marriage as their harvest. No, your marriage is your opportunity to sow. Some people treat their kids as their harvest. No, your kids are an opportunity for you to sow something into their life. Some people treat their job as their harvest. No, your job is an opportunity for you to sow and honor your boss as unto the Lord. So some people treat their church as their harvest and even their ministry. I just got into this ministry. I feel it's going to fulfill me. This ministry was never there to fulfill you. This ministry was there to refresh you. But it says those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. So there's clearly this ministry is there for you to sow into. See, the thing is, you can't get anything out of something you haven't sown into. You can't get that marriage that you haven't sowed into. You can't get that relationship you haven't sowed. So some people get very frustrated with life. And they go, why have they got that? Well, you can't have their reward based on your input. It's different levels of input. So you have to ask yourself, am I all in? Because your harvest looks like your seed. What you're going to harvest in your marriage, your relationships, in your workplace, and your life looks like what you're sowing. It's not a pipe dream. So I've got a really good friend. He lives down the road. He's a great friend. He's a low maintenance friend. I really like him. And you know what? I'm probably a low maintenance Christian as well. Honestly, you don't have to wish me happy birthday, nothing. Honestly, but I need to watch that because my personality is, you don't have to do anything for me. I'm not doing this to receive. I'm doing this for the opportunity to give. Like, I'm a low maintenance Christian. Like if the building burns down, I'll be here. I'm not high maintenance. I'm like, cool, I'm here. Yeah, well, there's no roof. I don't care. This is a church. I'm committed. But so our friendship's also quite low maintenance. But I've had to come to realization that my friendship is going to dwindle with him. Because you know what? I have to be very honest. I'm sowing nothing into our relationship. We see each other once a year. He's low maintenance. We greet each other. But my friendship will go nowhere. It will start leading. We will always be friends, but we are not going to grow. It's going to dwindle down. Because a seed of nothing leads to a season of nothing. It will. And you have to get over it. So that's why some people go, Andre, I'm waiting for my breakthrough in the church. Yes, but if there, a seed of nothing, it's just a season of nothing. You can't keep living on everyone else's breakthrough. Everyone else's seed. Your future is based on what you sow. It says God can't be mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. That's your future. That's what's on your life. That's what's on my future with my friends. So I don't know if you know the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They actually end up selling land and promise to give God a certain amount, almost everything. Then he comes first to God and he says, here's the amount of the land. He comes to the apostle. He ends up, they say, is this the amount? He says, yes it is, but he lies. Of course, you know what happens? God strikes him down. I know it's a very sad story. Then his wife comes 3 hours later, keeps the story straight. Same story, this is what we got for the land. She dies as well. What do we learn from them? We ask the question, are you all in? This is what we learn from them. Whatever is held back will lead to the death of your potential. Because we don't know the potential of Ananias and Sapphira. And whatever is held back in your marriage will lead to your marriage not reaching its destiny. Whatever you hold back in the way your relationship is with your kids will lead to the potential destiny of your relationship with your kids not reaching its destiny. Whatever you hold back in business is not going to... Some people hold back in the way they work to spite their boss, but the only person they're spiting is themselves. Because your boss doesn't reap your seed harvest. You reap from your seed. And if you sow to spite your boss, you reap the hard season. They don't reap it. If you come to spite even people in church, whatever, I'm going to spite family members. That, it doesn't affect the family member. You get the harvest. Whatever you sow, you reap. So people don't get that. They think somehow that they're gaining control. No, you're losing control of your destiny by holding back. Ananias and Sapphira lost control of their whole destiny but holding back what they promised to God. So this is, they already had promised that to God. This isn't a give everything to God, else you're going to die. I just need to show you the principle there. And you might be married to somebody and you say, you know what, we might get divorced. So you know, I'm not going to fully commit to you. I'm going to be married to you, but I'm not going to fully commit to you. And then your wife says, is that all you have? You're like, yeah, that's all I got. It's the death of your marriage. It's the death of your relationships. Because your potential of your marriage is already inside of you. God's given it to you to give to your spouse. Your destiny in your relationship with your kids and your workplace right now, you don't have to fear because God's your promoter, not your boss. But you can give to them as unto God. You can work. Your boss says, come in early. Sow your time. Get there early. Because now you've sown a seed. Now you're going to, you don't have to feel limited. But it's when you start to think that your boss is in control of your destiny that you start to hold back on what you're sowing at work, your time, your attitude. And you start to cut yourself off from a harvest. You cut yourself off from breakthrough in your marriage, in your relationships, in your workplace. So everything you could have been will die if you're not all in. So we can be selfish and if you're selfish, you'll never be successful. You won't. Your marriage won't be successful if you're selfish. Your friendship circle won't be successful. So the enemy wants you to keep part. He wants to cause you to believe that God is not in control and God can't take care of you. So now, who's been to Big Bay recently, Eden of the Bay? Now, I grew up in Big Bay. I remember the old Big Bay. There was the beach looked totally different to what it looks now. Yes, last night I went for a prayer walk, and you swear the cliffs of Dover have arrived at Big Bay. Like they've built a wall, and then there's erosion happening all the time. So I've asked some locals there, and they say that the sand used to be blown. Southeast used to blow sand. The sea used to take sand, and then there was this give and take. There was this return of soil by the southeast, and then the sea would take the sand. And Big Bay would not change any year. It would always look the same. This year, the last 2 years, everything's been exposed. There's rocks been exposed. You surf, it's like there's a reef. You like scrape your head on the reef. Like all of a sudden, where did this come from? Then I looked at the sea last night, and the sea's so much lower now, almost about that much than it used to be. And the only way Eden of the Bay can protect itself is by building walls. Because it stopped giving back to the sea. Here's my point. That's the only way you can stay in a marriage if you're not generous. You build walls and you get hard and you protect yourself. Because somehow you think if you give, you'll get hurt. And somehow you think that you don't have enough to give to your spouse or to your kids. And you start to take your time, your talent, your money for yourself. And you say, I have to sort myself out. I don't have enough energy. I don't have enough. But God says, no, I made you to step into your destiny by not what you take and not what you keep, but what you give into your relationships, into your marriage, your time. God has given you seed for breakthrough. So it's a challenge. So we hide, we say, you know, I don't feel that I'm good enough, or my seed's not good enough. I don't know if he or she's gonna be happy, or I don't feel worthy, or you don't sow because you're greedy, or you don't want to get hurt. I've been hurt in my past. God does not decide on your destiny based on your past. He does not consult your past when he looks at your future harvest. He does not ask, he does not go to your past and say, what's their track record? And based on their track, so you're sowing into your marriage, into your friendships, into your ministry cannot be based on your past hurts. When he calls out destiny and purpose and harvest, he does it because of his grace and his mercy. Galatians 6 verse 7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Not only does a man reap what he sows, but he reaps where he sows. Sometimes if you sow great time into your kids, you'll not reap a better relationship with your wife. Leanne and I talk about it all the time. Sometimes you can say, but look what I do for the kids. Yes, your spouse will love you, but they need some seed. Yeah. They need your time, your words. They need your affection. You can't expect your marriage to go to a new level just because you sow into your kids, but you can't expect your relationship with your kids to go to a new level just because you sow into your wife. They both need time. You can't expect your work and promotion if you are always late, leaving early, never doing work, always having coffee, always on Facebook. I don't care if they can't see, God sees. You can't expect it. You not only reap what you sow, you reap where you sow. If you plant corn, you're not going to get pumpkins. So you know what our present time is? And I asked the worship team to come up. Our present time is a seed time. We have been given a seed. We were made with a seed. Even animals and plants are made with a seed. If you look at Luke 10 verse 2, it says that he told them the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the... Who is he the Lord of? He's the Lord of the? We're the people of the seed. Sometimes you'll ask your spouse to be your harvest. She is not a harvest. Yes, she can sow into your marriage, but you're supposed to sow into. You're not a victim of your marriage. So, here's the thing. If the season in your life that you got now is not giving you everything you've ever wanted, it's actually because it's a seed and it's not a harvest. Please release your job from being your ultimate harvest. Please release your spouse and your kids. God is the God of the harvest. Look to Him for the harvest. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your wife. Enjoy your work. Sow into it. Be generous. Show up. You know what? This morning I parked across the road. Last week I parked at Flamingo Square. They said I might get my wheels clamped. I prayed over that car. I said, Jesus, I parked there for you. It was not clamped. Thank you, Jesus. But I parked in the My City. You know why I parked there? Simple thing. I parked there because I believed there were going to be new people in our church and I didn't want to park in their spots. So to seed. Yeah, we give online every week, and in the means of every month, but every week I give in every service and I pray that we get more souls with this. That's the harvest we want. I'm saying that's the harvest we want. I want new people, so I park there, I sow a seed. Some people, and that's not an obligation, that's just an opportunity. I got vision eyes. The volunteer spirit gets stronger. It doesn't actually dwindle out. It doesn't flatline. The volunteer spirit sees more opportunity. The volunteer goes, I can see this opportunity. I can see it's boiling up inside of me. Not what I have to do. No, what can I do? I don't have to be here, but I get to be here because of what Jesus did for me. I don't have to be. I get to be here. It's a privilege. I get to sow you. I need to have vision eyes. I need to go, this is an opportunity. So you know what we need to do is, we need to identify our seed. We need people to come to our life. Elijah walks into a widow's life who's picking sticks up in 1 Kings, and I'm not going to read it now, but 1 Kings 17, 8 to 6, she's picking sticks up. And he says, what are you doing? She says, I'm going to go make my last meal, then me and my son are going to die. He says to her, because God tells him to go to her. He says to her, if you make a meal for me, make me bread and give me something to drink, you will never lack. He wasn't being selfish, if you study the scripture. He was trying to help her access a harvest. He was trying to show her that what she thought was her last meal was the beginning of every other meal she would ever get. That she actually had an opportunity, and she was not obligated just to die and to eat. She had an opportunity and she needed to see it. So she gets a man of God into her, knocks, boom, 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 and he responds to God's word. So wisdom is God's word applied. He carries wisdom and he says, do you see that? Your seed. You're trying to make your seed your harvest. You say, this is my last meal. You know when people on death row, what's your last meal? She's trying to go, this is my last meal. He's saying, this is not your last. You're trying to say that this, people do their last meal as their greatest meal. You're trying to say that this is the last thing that will nourish you. No, this is the start of all nourishment you've ever looked for. This is going to put your eyes on Christ. You're going to see how good your Father is. You're going to see how faithful He is. I want you to see what's in front of you. Joseph could interpret dreams. So when Pharaoh needed a dream to be interpreted, he put his hand up and says, I can sow my gift into your life. I can do that. I can interpret. And it says in Proverbs 18 verse 16, a man's gift makes room for him and it brings him before great men. Joseph's gift made room for him. He sowed his gift and he actually not only came before a great man, he became a great man. See, that's the thing. It's that you need to know what's on your life. Some of you got just the gift of encouragement. You need to start to sow it more. Some of you got a gift for administration. Whatever you got, you need to sow it. You need to start to see the seed that's in your hand. Elijah saw more than her seed. He saw her harvest. He saw what it could produce. He mentored her to receive a supernatural harvest. He was telling her, your key to your future is in your hand. Your key to your marriage. You've already got it. You already got it. The key to your breakthrough at work, it's already inside of you. But it's sometimes you just have to break through the attitudes that are holding you back. You got it. He had to come and say, you already got your breakthrough. Where? It's in your house. It's in your hand. She discovered that you always have enough to access what you do not have yet. You've always got enough. Your harvest is closer than you realize. And when her seed left her hand, a harvest had left the warehouse of heaven towards her. You know, when I worship here, I not only worship God for what He's done for me, I'm worshiping God because we've sown into the land. See, some of you guys can't see my harvest, but that's what happens with the seed. It goes into the ground. But that's the thing. People can come and say, oh, well, when's your harvest? Well, it says, don't give up. In due time, you'll receive. And some of the stuff I'm going to receive in heaven. But here's the thing. I must not forget that it's in the ground. It's been watered. I'm in the house. And it's coming. That's why, praise God, I'm so excited about the future I have in Christ. Not just because of what He's done, but because what He's allowed me to get involved in. What He's allowed me to sow into. When you let what's in your hand, God will let go of what's in His hand. When you ask God for a harvest, He'll always ask you for a seed because that's how He made you. He's not going to bypass the process. When the prophet spoke to the woman about food, he had a harvest in mind. When God talks to you about seed, He has a harvest in mind. Nobody can stop the harvest that your seed had commanded. That's the thing. Nobody can stop the harvest your seeds commanded. If you have sown negatively and you're reaping a bad season, you know how to change it. Just sow a good seed today. That's how you change it. Some people say, I'm just going to try to work through the season and then I'm going to sow something. A seed of nothing leads to a season of nothing. If your hard season is causing you not to sow a good seed now, you will not have a good season after it. Good seasons come after the good seed. Some people just say, you know what, Andre, I'm going to be refreshed. I'm just going to take a step back from church. But I say, but the Bible says those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. How can you expect refreshing, but you haven't sown a seed of refreshing? And yes, you need to do sabbatical, so I'm not preaching against that. But sometimes I get confused. I'm like, how do you think that's going to work out for you? Like, I don't understand the maths. We're seed people. Seed faith is sowing what you have been given to create what you have been promised. The seed that left her hand never left her life, but entered her future where it multiplied. Your seed is anything that benefits another, while your harvest is anything that benefits you. If what you hold in your hand is not enough to be your harvest, then make it your seed. Don't settle. Don't just settle for this life, what life's throwing at you. Your seed is the only master your future will obey. Your seed is the vehicle into your future. Have you ever seen these dudes drive around in synthetic grass? You know, wrapped around their car? Sometimes I think I need to get a seed car. Sesame seeds, mustard seeds. I'm driving into my future. And you remember, I'm sowing into my, the seed I sow drives me. It's the vehicle into my future, into my breakthrough. In my marriage, with my relationship with my kids, in my workplace, in all kinds of, you're driving. You're not a victim. You're not just waiting for the traffic cop to direct you. You are sowing and you're driving into your destiny. Your seed is the only influence you have over your future because God cannot be mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Satan wants fear to grip you. He wants you to think that you need to get out of the season before you can sow something new. You know, once me and my wife stop fighting, I'm going to go and give something to her. No, why don't you do it now and break through? I'm speaking to myself because my personality is I'm a hedgehog in that moment. I just want to go. Satan wants you to hold back. He wants you to think you can't do. And he grips you in season after season after season. A seed of nothing leads to a season of nothing. I can't expect my friendship to flourish with my friend, but I don't sow any friendship into it. You sow gossip, you lose friends. You sow friendship, you gain friends. And your seed is the only proof of expectation. It's a proof that you have an expectation.
Thank you for joining us for today's View Church podcast. If you would like to invest in our ministry, find our giving options online at viewchurch.co.za/giving.